Well, all the Lord's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Miss Rachel. What a blessing that was. Exodus chapter 20 in your Bibles tonight. Exodus chapter number 20. Pray for Brother Bud Persinger. Brother Bud is at the ER with a blood clot. I'm not sure where it's at. I don't know if it's leg. I don't know if it's his lung. It's his leg. All right. And he'd been hurting in his legs for some time. And you pray for him doing a chest x-ray. So you pray for Brother Bud. Brother Bud's health has not been good lately. Brother Bud's a godly man. And I want you to pray for him, if you would. Ask God to be with him. Exodus chapter 20 tonight. Boy, aren't you glad there's an anchor for the soul, sure and steadfast, that entereth within the veil. I'm so glad he's already entered in. That means we get to enter in with him. Exodus chapter number 20, if you would please. We're studying those two tablets of timely truth, or timeless truth, that we would call the Ten Commandments. Understanding how they would impact our lives as believers today. Under New Testament grace, I recognize that I don't keep the Ten Commandments in order to be saved. I want to honor God because I am saved, and there are lessons, there are truths from these commandments that I believe we can glean for our own spiritual lives to help us to be better Christians, better servants of God, that we can honor our God more in our day. Look, if you would, Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 7. Thou shalt not. Now, it's interesting that whenever you see the thou shalt nots, immediately we think negativity. But actually, there's a positive. Somebody said, anytime you see a thou shalt not in the Bible, God said, don't do yourself harm. Every time you see a thou shalt, God is saying, help yourself to happiness. And person is not going to be happy that takes the name of God in vain. Notice the Bible said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I jotted this down. His name is wonderful. Let's pray and help. Ask God to help us tonight. Father, thank you for the goodness of God. Lord, so often we can become so familiar with you that, Lord, we can even in our own selves as believers, as people who love you, can at times take your name in a way that's less than what it should be. Father, I pray that we'll learn lessons tonight to help us as we think about the beautiful, precious, holy name of our God. And Lord, that we would recognize that your name is a sacred name, and we sure don't want to bring shame to it. Now speak to us from the Word, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, little Mary was attending Sunday school for the very first time, and it was around Christmas time. Teacher was up, and she was talking about the record of Christ's birth, and she was eagerly listening as the teacher told of the birth of God's Son, and she was thrilled at the story of the angels and the shepherds and the star and the wise men. And then the teacher said, as she read the verse, and they shall call his name Jesus. At that moment, little Mary's eyes got real big, and she looked over at the little girl beside of her, and she said this. She said, why did they have to name such a sweet baby a swear word? See, little Mary's like a lot of people in our community. The only time they ever hear the precious, blessed name of Jesus is in profanity. They don't even know that name has any other meaning, has any other impact, any other import in their word than just a byword or a swear word, as people will take the precious name of our Savior and blaspheme that holy name. We're literally surrounded by a world of profanity. According to one study, over the course of a year in primetime television, it will air 8,333 acts of violence, 14,313 acts of immorality, and then you wonder why we preach against television every once in a while. There will be 23,566 uses of profanity. Is that not unbelievable? In a year! In a year, USA Today made this, said profanity on television increased by an alarming rate, 45% in the first 4 years of the last decade. According to a Southern Illinois University study, researchers monitored 2 weeks of primetime TV on the major networks, and they found that words that were once banned are now heard once every 5 minutes on primetime sitcoms or situational comedies. The third commandment, though, is going to address more than a cursing tongue. It's going to deal with more than just someone who has a filthy mouth. It's going to deal with something much more serious. And you say, preacher, what is that? That is the profane use or the misuse of God's holy, precious, wonderful name. And God protects His name. As a matter of fact, you're going to find that God's name is so sacred and so holy, God said, do not take my name in vain. You say, preacher, why is that so important? It's because a name represents a person. Who that person is. I mentioned this on Wednesday night as we were talking about the names of God. If I were to mention a name like Mickey Mouse, okay, you know what just came to your mind? What came to your mind was a cartoon figure with big black ears and a nose and a face that looked like a cartoon character that we all know about by the name of Mickey Mouse. Matter of fact, the words Mickey Mouse didn't come up. A couple big ears came up in your mind. You know what I'm saying? Because a name stands for the person that it represents. And the names of God and the name of God stands for the person that it represents. And when we misuse God's name, His wonderful name, can I tell you, we are in reality. We are mocking or we are using or we are speaking of God in an unholy manner or in an unholy way. As a matter of fact, you're going to find Psalm 111, verse 9. The Bible says, holy and reverend is His name. Our God's name is holy, and it's to be revered. We're to stand in awe and adoration and respect and reverence and worship at the name of our God. Psalm 34, and verse 3, the Bible said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Jesus, our Lord, said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, my friend, listen, you and I have not prayed until we've praised. We have not talked to God unless we've worshiped God and reverenced and honored and magnified His holy name. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, His name is wonderful. Amen? And when God says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, He's actually teaching us some important truths. Number one, get this, He talks about the danger of shaming His name. The danger of shaming His name. Look again, if you would, please, in verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That word vain means useless. It means meaningless. It means empty or careless or thoughtless or frivolous, phony, lacking in reality or truth. And you know what? There's several ways that we can take God's name and shame His name and can actually take His name in vain. And one of those is in profanity. Listen to Leviticus 19 and verse number 12. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. You know, that word profane means to pollute. It means to use it in an unholy name. Listen, a blasphemous manner that will shame and stain the name of God, and it wounds the heart of God. And young ladies, be careful how you use God's name. Mom and dad, listen, adults, we need to be careful how we use God's name. Little boy let an off-colored word slip, and his mama heard it, and his mama said, young man, where'd you learn to talk that way? The little boy looked over at his daddy, and he said, should I tell her? Kids repeat what they hear. Profanity, I'll never forget. You know how you'll pick things up, and I don't know if I picked it up at school. I don't know if I picked it up on watching TV or whatever, but I had a pretty profane mouth before I came to know the Lord. And I'll never forget when I was younger, I let a word slip in front of my mom. Now, I'm telling you, she didn't ask me where I learned it. Let me tell you what she did. It was a good lesson, Mom and Dad. She took me straight to the bathroom. When I went into the bathroom, she got a big wad of soap in her hand on a cloth. And she rammed her finger in my throat and began to run that washcloth with that soap in my mouth. And I began to gag and spit and everything else. But you know what it taught me? It taught me, son, don't have a dirty mouth. And I'll just tell you something. You need to be careful and not have a dirty mouth. Wouldn't hurt sometimes, Mom and Dad, what we hear, maybe we ought to use some washcloth and soap. Profanity is such a pointless and profitless sin. Somebody said it shows two things. First of all, an empty head. The second one, a wicked heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Somebody says, well, I didn't mean to say that. And the reality of it is, oh yes, we did, because what is in our heart will eventually come out of our mouths. And a profane mouth will reveal a profane heart. And what contempt it shows for Almighty God. Nothing more than an insult flung into the face of a God who loves us and died to save us. And dear friend, what contempt that is. We should never use profanity in a bad way. And somebody says, well, preacher, I don't use profanity. But what about what we would call secondhand cursing? How about, and I don't say these words, but we need to be careful about using these other words that are just short words for taking God's name in vain. Such as G-O-S-H. Instead of O-M-G-O-D, we just put G-O-S-H in there. And if you can't spell, we'll come along with it. I just have a hard time saying it. I just don't want to say it. Some people will use the shortened J-E-E-Z instead of... It's just short for using the name of the Lord. Because you need to be careful what comes out of our mouth. Well, you say, preacher, what do we say when we get angry? As little as possible. I'll never forget one time I was working. I probably hadn't been saved long. I was working in the grinder room. I was a teenager in high school, and I was down in the grinder room working. Had old big long wooden chutes, and we would push paper down that chute into a grinder, and it'd go up and feed into these machines that would make furniture pads. And I'll never forget, I was down there working one day. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't wearing gloves. And I went underneath to grab a big wad of newspapers and throw them in there. And when I did, I had a splinter come off that table and go up my fingernail. I mean, you could see it. It had to be surgically removed. I'll never forget it. That thing went up in there. I thought I had a log, a plank, a two before coming out of my finger. I mean, it was throbbing. Let me just tell you, when that happens, it doesn't just hurt part of you. The entire body hurts with your finger. I never forget with guys standing around me, and they are sick, saying, Kevin, we know you don't do this, but go ahead and cuss. We understand. And I looked at them, I said, guys, it ain't going to make it feel any better. What's the point? It's not going to make it feel any better. It's not going to stop it from hurting, so why in the world should I let something like that come out of my mouth that I wouldn't normally say? Because I am a Christian, and I just want to tell you, be careful what you say. You're a Christian. The Lord said, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these come of evil. The third commandment reminds us that God will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Too often we take it in profanity. The second way, if we're not careful, that we can take his name in vain is frivolity. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once or one time named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. That phrase, foolish talking, those two words, refers to those little flippant phrases, those offhand remarks that include the holy name of God carelessly. And we need to be careful about using God's name in a wrong way and understand. I'm preaching that. I'm going to use some example. But I see this, and they'll talk about, and they'll say, Lordy, Lordy, so-and-so's 40. Let me just tell you, that's taking God's name in vain. When you use the O-M-G word, or, oh Lord, you know what you just did? You just used God's word. You just broke the third commandment of Scripture. You know what God said? I'm just not going to hold you guiltless for that. We may never use his name in profanity, but how often do we use it in frivolity? That we use it in little offhand remarks that include the name of God. And if we're not careful, church, familiarity breeds contempt, and we'll just off the cuff say things. And if we're not careful, we'll take God's name in vain when we do it. When you said praise the Lord, did you really mean praise the Lord, or was it just a statement because you're so used to saying it? Did you know that when the ancient Jews would just write the name Jehovah, they felt that name was so ineffable, so precious, so holy, so sacred, that before the scribe would write that name and inscribe it on paper, they would go and they would take a bath, they would change their clothes, they would get a brand new pen, and they would go and they would take that brand new pen and they would dip it in a bottle of ink, and they would write the name in Scripture. Matter of fact, in some places, the name of God was used so many times, the name Lord in all capital letters, Jehovah, was used so many times in a passage, they would leave it blank because they would be continually going and taking a bath and changing their clothes and getting a new pen. Because here's when, and there's times when you look at the Old Testament fragments and manuscripts that are handed down to us today, you will see blank spaces where Jehovah goes, where they forgot to write the name in. You know what's interesting? After they wrote the name Jehovah with that pen, you know what they would do with it? They would throw it away. Because they believed that once it written that name, it wasn't worthy to be write anything else. And yet we take it in frivolity. And we take it lightly. I'm just reminding us Christians, be careful how we say and use God's name. Don't be careful we don't profane it. Be careful we don't use it in frivolity. And then the third way we can do it is in hypocrisy. The Bible says that in Isaiah 48 in verse number 1 that they were making mention of God's name, but they weren't doing it in truth or in righteousness. As a matter of fact, he said, "This people draweth nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Remember, that word vain means lacking in reality or truth. G. Campbell Morgan, in his book on the Ten Commandments, said this: "The profanity of the church is infinitely worse than the profanity of the street. The blasphemy of the sanctuary is far more insidious form of evil than the blasphemy of the slum. The most subtle and awful form of breaking the third commandment of which any man can be guilty is that of hypocrisy." When we take God's name by being one thing at church and something else out in the world. Wow. Or by using that name thoughtlessly or carelessly or irreverently. Folks, can I tell you, we bear His name. Amen? And we need to be careful that we don't profane that name. But not only is there the danger of shaming His name, can I notice secondly, there is the delight of embracing His name. You see, when you take God's name in vain, you shame it. But then there's another way that we can take it. And that means we can embrace His name in a way that would lead to victory. Listen to Colossians 3:17. "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." That's how we do it. We take His name and then we embrace His name by wearing His name. Listen to Acts chapter 11 verse 26. "And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." You know what we didn't do? We didn't call ourselves Christians. No, they did. The people of Antioch saw the people that named the name of Jesus Christ, and they looked at the way they lived and they said, "Wow." They said, "These people are followers of Christ. They're like little Christ. They are Christians." It was a name the world gave us because of the way that we lived. And friend, can I tell you, hey, the world needs to look at us and be able to say, "That is a Christian." They need to be able to say that. The Bible said, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And if we're going to name His name, then we need to wear His name, and we need to do it in such a way that we honor His name and embrace His name and glorify His name rather than shaming His name. It's said, and I don't know all the details of it, but it's said that General Alexander the Great was addressing a cowardly soldier in the army that had his name. And he would ask that man, and he would say to this cowardly soldier who had ran in the face of the enemy, he would say, "Son, what's your name?" And he would say, "Alexander, sir." And he would say, "Son, what is your name?" And he would say, "Alexander, sir." He said, "Son, what is your name?" And he said, "Alexander." He said, "Change your ways or change your name." And maybe there's some people who need to change their ways or they need to change their name. You see, we don't need to be snickering at the dirty joke on the job. We just don't. I never forget after I came to know the Lord, I had a pretty profane mouth and all of that. I never forget, I was with my friend, we were working, and he was pretty profane. And I never forget that he was saying something. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I said, you know, I can't do that anymore, I'm a Christian. I said, I'll tell you what, you just say it and I'll laugh at it. About that time, the Holy Spirit said, you can't do that. Can't do it. I said, I tell you what, let's not talk about it. Let's leave that alone. Young man in Calvary Baptist Church youth group. Don't profane his name. Don't do that. Be careful how you talk. Young lady, be careful how you talk. We name his name. Let's make sure we don't shame his name. Amen? Let's make sure we do that. Let's remind ourselves to wear his name in such a way that we bring honor to his name and we don't shame his name. Secondly, we need to share his name. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 16, if you'll just hang on, I want to read it to you. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 16. Listen to what he says. I thought I had it written down, but I didn't. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Wow. You know that every time that we think on his name and we share his name and we talk about his name, God says, write that down in my book. I want to remember that. I want to remember it. Let me ask you a question. Is your name written in that book? You know, there's three books that God has. There's the book called the Bible. Then there's the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad that my name's written in that book. Amen. But then there's a book of remembrance, he said, where he records the name of those that fear him and speak often about his name and think on his name. You know, if I just think about his name, God said, would you write that down? I want to remember that. Now, you understand that God's omniscient. And God doesn't have to say, jot that down, I'll remember it. What God's saying is, I'm going to take mental note of that. I'm going to remember that. That's going to be in my book. And then we need to bear that name. You know, Jesus is the most loved name in all the world. Did you know that? But it's also the most hated name in all the world. It is. I'll never forget. It was one year at Christmas time. We were in Kmart before it closed down in our town back in Lenore. And there were some guys that they were trying to move something heavy. I don't know what we bought. I'm sure my wife remembers. And they were trying to load it, a couple teenage guys, you know. And I didn't help them because they were getting paid to do it. And so anyway, they were loading that on there. I didn't think I needed a hernia. And so they're loading that thing. And boy, about that time, one of them let out the Lord's name. And I said, I know him. They said, who? Who do you know? I said, I know the Lord. You're talking about him. I know him. Boy, you're talking about shutting up. They didn't want to talk anymore. Do you know that the disciples unashamedly bore the name of Jesus Christ? They, many times when you read the book of Acts and you read about the disciples, you will find that they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That word reproach or shame means to suffer for bearing his name. Hebrews 13:13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. We need to unashamedly bear the name of Jesus Christ at home, on the job, at school, out in the world. You're going to at times suffer reproach. There's times you'll be laughed at, mocked, or made fun of, especially in the climate in which we live. I was appalled here recently in the news as there's this liberal new show called The View. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I've never seen it. I got more things to do with my time than watch it. But it did show up because really they're empty-headed and nasty-mouthed. But anyway, it's these ladies and they're liberals and they like to find somebody who's a conservative so they can beat up on them or whatever they want to do. One of them, and I can't even remember her name, I read it again today and I watched some video on it just to remind myself, she mocked our vice president who is a vocal born-again Christian because he said that Jesus talked to him. And they laughed at that and they began to mock that and they began to make a big deal out of it. And they said, I think that it's one thing to talk to Jesus when he talks back to you. They said it's a mental illness. And then they laughed with each other. And they mocked and they scorned a Christian. And I thought about that. I talked to him today and I'm thankful he's talked back to me. And I'm just going to tell you, Christian, the climate in our world is changing. And we're a 21st century group of people that's living in a first century world so far as it is treating the name of Christ and the things of God in Christianity. Now, we've not resisted unto blood yet striving against sin. Okay? Nobody's been put in jail yet that we know of. Nobody's been sawed in asunder or beheaded for the cause of Christ in our nation. But they are suffering in other nations. But I can tell you this, that now more than ever, we need to be vocal. Now more than ever is not the time to be ashamed of His name. It's just not. The Lord said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Now, I don't know what all that means, but I sure don't want Him to be ashamed of me. I just don't. I'll never forget when I was a young Christian. I remember I was carrying my Bible to school. And I sort of put it underneath all the other books. I would read it in one of my classes. And I'll never forget as I was carrying it, I had it behind my math book and other books and stuff like that. And it was like the Lord prompted me and said, well, why don't you put the Bible on the outside? Why don't you carry it out there and not put it behind the math book and the history? Why don't you put it on the front and carry it to school? I had high school about 1,500 people. And so you know what I needed to do and what I did do? I said, okay, Lord. And I pulled my Bible out and I put it on the front of my books. Now, I didn't walk down the hallway saying, repent. Okay? I didn't do that. But what God was doing was God was in small ways helping me to take steps in my life to not be ashamed of Him. And can I just encourage you, no matter whether you're in a homeschool group, Christian school, at Calvary Christian School or another Christian school, or whether you're in a public school environment, everywhere you go, you're going to find sinners and you're going to find saints. Everywhere you go. And what you need to do and what I need to do is make sure that we're bearing His name and wearing His name, young man and young lady, and being a testimony for Him in whatever environment you are. And be a testimony for Him. Amen? And young single adult out on the job, bear His name. Wear His name. Wear His name. Embrace it. And adult Christians, let's embrace His name. Let's not be ashamed of it. Let's go ahead and bow our head and pray at the lunch table in the break room. Let's just go ahead and do that. Okay? It doesn't. You say, well, you know, all the other guys. Are you ashamed of it? I'm just asking the question. Just go ahead at the restaurant and quit eating first. And bow your head and pray over the meal. I've been all over the world. I've been in Muslim countries. It was time to eat. You say, preacher, what did you do? I bowed my head and I prayed. And I prayed in Jesus' name. And I did it out loud. And I wasn't doing that to try to say, oh, look at him. I'm just saying, you know, everywhere I go, I'm going to pray in His name. And you know what? I've never been, even in a Muslim country, I wasn't beat up. You know, now, I didn't get up and scream it. through the restaurant, but I did pray aloud and people heard me pray. And there was a group of Christians there and we prayed. Okay? You see, what I'm just trying to say is this. We're living in America and you walk into a restaurant and you watch around you and you look at people and you notice how many people thank God for what they just ate. And it'll be very few. And even some of them will be in church on Sunday morning somewhere. Right? What I'm just saying is, don't let it be you and me. That's just all I'm saying. And Dad, you go ahead and pray. Don't let little Junior do it because it's cute. You do it because you're the man of God in your home. And you're going to have a testimony for God. And you're not ashamed of His name. Does that make sense? And let's just go ahead and use in Jesus' name. Let's just go ahead and use those words. Okay? Because it's real easy to say in God's name. Because you know what? God doesn't really offend anybody. But when you use that name, that's the divide. Isn't that true? His name. And we name His name. Let's embrace His name. Amen? Could we do that? And let's be careful that we don't shame His name. Could we do that? And I believe when we honor God that way, you know what I believe God's going to do? I believe God's going to honor us. I just believe He will. You know? And I believe we'll be blessed because we do it. Folks, I just want to tell you, His name is wonderful tonight. It is. And we need to be careful how we use His name. Because God said, I'm not going to hold a person guiltless for how they use my name. And He's talking about Christians too. And if anybody ought to take God's name in a proper way, in a reverenced way, it ought to be those who belong to Him. Amen? And to be careful how we use His name. Amen? Amen. Boy, folks, I'm not trying to drag it out. But wouldn't it be amazing if they had said, Allah talked to them? I bet nobody would have said a word. I bet they would have said a word. It's just a different climate and a different day. And you know, if somebody mocks you, just be like the disciples of old and say, just be thankful that God counted you worthy to bear shame for His name. Amen. Stand up.